Please turn in your copy of God's Word to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. The title of this message is Be Hearers and Receive the Word. As you're making your way to James 1, 19 through 21, I'll pray for us once more. Oh God, we pray with the hymnist of old these words as our own desire even now. Lord, give us more knowledge divine, thy word explain to us, that we may find those things of thine to be most precious. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 reads, Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Many believers read verses 19 and 20 and assume that these verses refer to patiently interacting with others. I myself have also made this assumption, and I still think that these verses have much to teach us about how to speak with wisdom whenever we're dialoguing with other image bearers. We shouldn't be quick to speak, because when words are many, sin is not lacking, Proverbs 10:19. We shouldn't be quick to anger, because he who has a hasty temper exalts folly, Proverbs 14:29. So I don't deny that this text teaches us about patience with other humans and our need to be patient with other image bearers. But what I hope to show you this morning is that this text is primarily, or more specifically, about how we should respond to God's word. That's the main idea of our passage this morning. This text is primarily about how we should respond to God's word. God helping us, we'll see this main idea through two points of explanations, followed by uses, and there's going to be various uses scattered throughout the message. And so I hope that this will help us as we consider our need to be hearers and receive the word. We'll draw your attention then to verses 19 and 20 for the first of our two points. Be hearers of the word. Be hearers of the word. After addressing these believers yet again as beloved brothers, James issues an interrelated threefold command at the end of verse 19. And this threefold command begins with the call to be quick to hear. This would cause us to ask, quick to hear what?
Yes. Yes.
Well, James doesn't explicitly say in verse 19, does he? But the surrounding context helps us to answer this question that we have. In verse 22, James tells believers to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So again, we can ask our question. Hearers of what? Well, we're supposed to be hearers of the same thing that we're supposed to be doers of, namely, the word. Another way that the context helps us to understand that we're supposed to be quick to hear the word is by looking at what was said right before this command and what is said right after this command. In verse 18, James taught his audience that the word of truth is the instrumental cause of our new birth. Now in verse 19, James commands believers to swiftly listen to this same message that will aid them in their spiritual growth. In verse 21, he'll inform them about how they are to receive this word to their profit. And in verses 22 through 25, he'll teach them that this word, which has the law of liberty in it, this word will help them to persevere in their faith. Since the larger context is about how God's word is an effective instrument to transform us, I don't think that verse 19 is just a general command that we need to be good listeners. I think this is a specific command that we need to listen to God's word. Amen. And notice from verse 19 that James doesn't say that we should be quick to personally study the word for ourselves. Although it's certainly good for us to read and study scripture in our private worship, I don't want to discourage anybody here this morning from reading your Bible. Amen. And from privately interpreting your Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. Please read your Bibles, be transformed by your Bibles, take up and read. But observe that as James addresses multiple brothers, he instructs a plural number of Christians to be quick to hear. Where might multiple believers hear the word? Is there such a place where they can go to hear the word together? Yes, there is. It's the same place that I alluded to in verse 18, where the gospel is outwardly offered by the preacher, and the Holy Spirit works with the word to regenerate souls. It's the place called your assembly in James chapter 2, verse 2, right after this context. So with the immediate context and the larger surrounding context of this book, I take James's instruction, be quick to hear, to mean be quick to hear the word as it is taught in your assembly. Well, notice then whose duty it is to do this. James writes, let every person, not just the beloved brothers, every person is commanded to be quick to hear God's word. In other words, it is the duty of all men to subordinate their wills to the authority of God's voice in Scripture. Yes, they must make themselves a willing hearer to the only infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Men, they may err, and they're often going to err in their dividing of this word when they preach it. But the word itself has no errors in it. And when this word is rightly proclaimed, the preaching of the word is the word of God itself. And it is the duty of all men to be hearers of this word as it is rightly divided and proclaimed. Further notice how James says this must be done. Hearing must be done with swiftness or with quickness. Men must not let unnecessary obstacles slow themselves down to the hearing of God's voice. Don't slow yourselves down by listening to unbelieving skeptics who say that God's word isn't true or that it's only that it isn't perfect. Believing their lies will only make you slow and hesitant to hear God's voice, not quick to embrace it. So instead of listening to people who are reluctant to affirm that God speaks through his word, people that cause you to be skeptical, don't listen to them. Instead, we must firmly believe that Scripture is infallible so that we have no hesitancy or no reluctance or no slowness to flee to the word of God with quickness and for hope to transform, for it to transform us. So don't slow yourself down to hearing with skepticism. But also don't slow yourself down to hearing with the obstacle of slothfulness. Whenever you're not legitimately hindered by God's providence, don't frequently miss opportunities to hear God's voice with swiftness and eagerness. Give yourself to this labor of listening. This is for believers, this is for unbelievers, this is for children, this is for adults. This is our duty. We must hear the word with haste. I suspect this morning that some of you might be unconvinced that be quick to hear the word refers to, or be quick to hear refers to hearing the word. Because you've also noticed that there's other commands in verse 19. And at first glance, the commands be slow to speak and be slow to anger they might not immediately appear to be about how we should respond to God's word. But I want you to consider two reasons why I think that these commands should be understood in this way, that is, as a proper response to the word. And the first reason is a bit more technical than the second one. Notice from the grammar that there is an interrelated threefold command at the end of verse 19. The main action or the main command is be. And since this is bad English to state a command of being with just the word be, the translations say, let every person be. So with the subject, the main command or the main action is let every person be. But this main verb is modified by three complementary verbs that each have the identical structure to one another, and they each explain what we're supposed to be. So all three of these modifying phrases, be slow, be quick, and be quick, they grammatically go together. And since verse 22 tells us that we're supposed to be hearers of the word, it isn't a stretch to think that we're also supposed to be slow to speak the word and slow to anger at the word. Since these three commands are grammatically interrelated, and since the surrounding context supplies the meaning of the first command, I think that we should view these three commands as one set of instruction about a proper response to the word. So that's the first reason why I think we should view these other two commands, be slow to speak and slow to anger, as a response to the word of God. But the second reason is that parallel passages in this book and the rest of Scripture confirm that we're supposed to be slow to speak God's word.
Yes.
We should be slow to speak God's word because, as James 3:1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. So we should be slow to speak God's word in a public teaching way. But we should also be slow to speak before or ahead of or above God's word in worship. This is because we need to hear from God way more than he needs to hear from us. Ecclesiastes 5:1 and following says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God, to draw near to listen, not to draw near with unthoughtful and hasty speech. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifices of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. That sounds a lot like James's be slow to speak, doesn't it? The preacher of Ecclesiastes says, let your words be few when you go to the house of the Lord. James, right after saying, be quick to hear, says, be slow to speak. Well, I've given my arguments for why I think be slow to speak also refers to a response to the ministry of the word. But how might this command, be slow to speak, apply to us as a body of believers? Well, first, by way of application, men shouldn't rush themselves into the position of preacher or pastor. Consider how dangerous it is to have a speaker who hasn't first been a hearer. If someone exalts themselves into a public teaching position without sufficient training and study, they are far more likely to harm God's dear sheep than to help them. If they are ignorant of the Scriptures and they take it upon themselves to be explainers of the Scriptures, they might speak in heretical categories that they are unaware of and set forth a false deity to idolize instead of presenting the true and living God that the sheep need to worship. They might mix categories of law and gospel in their teaching and confuse the faith of believers, turning them into legalists or abusers of grace, causing them very much destruction in their lives. So rather than hastening to the position of preacher without training, ministry aspirants should make themselves swift hearers of a faithful pastor who will entrust to them the pattern of sound words so that they will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. But a second application is that church members shouldn't hastily place themselves in a public teaching ministry role without the awareness of the congregation or the approval of the elders. It is good to slow ourselves down from speaking about things pertaining to Christian public ministry by making sure God's appointed counselors are okay with what we're doing. So whether in the church or on behalf of the church, whether online or in person, if we are teaching in a public and consistent role, we should slow ourselves down enough to ask, has God called me to this task, or have I called myself? But a third application of this command, be slow to speak, is that pastors and preachers must not rush into the pulpit with unprepared and hasty speech. Prayer, meditation, and thorough study should slow preachers down to some degree or another before they preach the Word of God. Yes, they should slow down long enough to be personally gripped by the Word so that they can preach the Word as one having felt the transforming power of the Word. They must slow down long enough so that they actually understand the meaning of their passage, so that they can accurately articulate it to the sheep with clarity and simplicity. If sheep are called to this honorable labor of listening to the Word of God, then preachers must slow themselves down enough to make sure that they've presented it in such a way that the sheep can hear the voice of Christ. Well, from verse 19, we've considered that we're supposed to be quick to hear the word and slow to speak the word. But before we move on to our second point, consider the last part of James's command in verse 19. He says, let every person be slow to anger. As the people of God gather in the assembly and the word is proclaimed, sometimes the purpose of a text is to bring encouragement and comfort. This is especially true whenever the gospel is proclaimed. Other times, though, the purpose of a passage is to rebuke believers and correct their errors. And when rebukes come from the word, hearers must be slow to get angry at them and slow to take personal offense by them. When the Holy Spirit works with the word and exposes some sin, the right response is not to get wrathful and defensive or to excuse sin away with impatient fits of anger. No, it is not fitting to act like the people who heard Stephen's preaching, who were enraged when they heard him and ground their teeth at him. Instead, when the word rebukes and corrects, the proper response is to be like David, who prayed, let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. So believers must be slow to get angry at rebukes that come from the correcting word. And unbelievers who hear the word, you also must be slow to anger. When you hear the offensive message from Scripture that you are categorically evil before a holy God, and that you deserve hell for your sins, and that you can't do anything by your own works to save yourself, this shouldn't cause you to harden yourself to the message of Scripture with anger. This should alarm your conscience and give you even more reason and cause to flee to Jesus Christ, because he died for the ungodly. Amen. He didn't come to save the people who thought themselves to be righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician. The only people who seek healing are the people who know that they are sick. So don't get angry when you hear the word tell you that you're plagued with the disease of sin. Instead, flee to Jesus Christ for spiritual cleansing. Well, if listeners are called to be slow to anger, if unbelievers are supposed to be slow to anger, then surely the preacher of the word must also be slow to anger. When necessity is laid upon him to rebuke the sheep, the aim of his charge must be love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. He must not use the pulpit to bully or bruise or belittle the sheep. And neither may he use the pulpit to go searching out for one particular person that he's upset with to target them in front of the rest of the flock because he's angry. There is a major difference between presenting God's threats and God's warnings from Scripture on one hand and mocking the sheep out of sinful anger on the other hand. The first of these is required for faithfulness. The second one is forbidden. So ministers must be slow to anger when they preach the word, and hearers must be slow to anger when they listen to its rebukes. Well, finally, James gives the reason why we're supposed to be slow to anger. Look at verse 20. He says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." In other words, responding to rebukes from the word with sinful expressions of rage and rebellion does not help us to grow in our sanctification. Hardening our heart and stiffening our necks doesn't make us godlier. But you know what does produce spiritual wholeness in us, spiritual growth in us? James told us in verse 3. He said, "And you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Hardening yourself to God's word with impatience, this doesn't produce the righteousness of God. But patiently enduring God's providence and quickly bending your ear to God's voice, this does work God's righteousness in us. Brothers and sisters, when the word comes with conviction, when we're tempted to respond with rage, let us ask ourselves the question that God asked Jonah. Yes, let us ask ourselves, do I do well to be angry? And unlike Jonah, let us ask ourselves, no, I do not, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We'll have more on this verse and a use later. We've considered our duty to be hearers of the word from verses 19 and 20. But for our second point, I want you to notice from verse 21 how James enlarges upon this duty to hear by commanding the brothers to receive the word. That's our second point from verse 21. Receive the word. If you were to ignore all the modifying words in verse 21, you could reduce this verse down to this short sentence. Receive the word. All the other words and all the other phrases in this sentence either tell us how to receive or what we're supposed to receive. So verses 19 through 20 inform us of our duty to be quick to hear. And verse 21, beginning with the conjunction therefore, which builds upon what was previously said, further instructs us about our duty to receive this word that we hear. Consider then four brief observations with me as we seek to obey James's command to welcome or to take or accept or receive God's word to our spiritual benefit. First, for believers already in the estate of salvation, receiving the word is simultaneously accompanied with putting off the old man and its remaining corruptions. As we put to death what is earthly in us, like our filthiness and our rampant wickedness, as we put it aside, as we lay it aside, we must at the same time set our minds on the things that are above, like Jesus Christ risen for sinners. In other words, we need to believe the gospel for power to actually kill our sin and put away our sin. Jesus' blood forgives us when we have been evil. Jesus' resurrection life empowers us to actually put away evil. So believing the good news and killing our sin should be a consistent pattern as we repetitively put ourselves under the ministry of the word as believers. Second, notice the manner in which we're supposed to receive the word. We must receive the word with meekness. If any of you want a more thorough explanation of meekness, I strongly encourage you to listen to Pastor Ron's sermon on meekness from Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, titled, "Blessed Are the Meek." In that sermon, Pastor Ron describes meekness as the spiritual grace of learned submission toward God. And then he further describes meekness as being pliable and teachable before God's word. I think that this is precisely what this word means in this context as well. James has instructed his audience to be slow to anger. Now he's instructing them to make themselves easily led and easily molded by this word that they're supposed to receive. So they aren't supposed to stubbornly resist the rebukes from the word or the parts of scripture that are offensive to them. They must cheerfully receive the word with a teachable frame of mind. This is the manner in which we're supposed to receive the word. Third, notice the object to be received in verse 20. We're supposed to receive the word. And from the context, this is done when we are quick to hear it. When we willingly do this, and God works with the word becomes the implanted word in our souls. Amen. The Holy Spirit works with the word to deeply convince believers of its truthfulness, to grip them with its content, and to transform them with its saving knowledge. Oh, when faith is exercised and when the Holy Spirit is working, God causes his truth to be deeply rooted in us believers so that we could bring spiritual fruit out. Like Paul and like Apollos, the preacher can only plant and water, but God alone brings the growth and the increase. So we should earnestly seek God to implant or engraft his word into our souls and sanctify us by his truth. Finally, notice the saving significance of this word. When this word has become implanted by the Spirit, it is described as that word which is able to save your souls. And that's because this word contains the gospel message in it. Only the gospel properly saves. And this message, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Paul says, those who hold fast to this word are being saved. Yes, this word of truth that God initially used to regenerate us, this is the same instrument that he uses to sanctify us and grow us until he brings our salvation to a completion. So we should highly esteem God's word. We should cherish it because this is the instrument that God uses to bring us to glory. To recap our passage then, we must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because resisting the word with sinful anger doesn't produce righteousness in us. Therefore, we must make ourselves willing and teachable receivers of the word, because this is the instrument that God uses to sanctify his people. Well, I hope your conscience has been carried to affirm that this text is primarily about how we should respond to God's word. And I hope you've benefited from some of the applications that have been scattered throughout the explanation of these points, like being quick to hear without skepticism or slothfulness, or being slow to speak without preparation or approval. Before we conclude this message, I have three more uses for you. The first two, I hope, have already been observable from the passage. First, it is the duty of all men to hear the word. James writes, let every person be quick to hear. Our Baptist Catechism says, all men are not only permitted, but commanded and exhorted to read, hear, and understand the Holy Scriptures. So children, you must listen to the Word. Timothy received the Holy Scriptures when he was a child, and you should too. So do your best to listen at church and at home in family worship. Especially listen for the gospel message, the good news that Jesus died for sinners, and believe in Jesus alone for your salvation. Unbelieving teenagers, unbelieving adults, you also must be quick to hear God's voice. Don't slow yourselves down to the hearing of the word by ignoring it when you're at church. Dear friend, it really does your soul no good to ignore the words of life when God and his providence has kindly placed you under them. If you're miserable while you're here, listen to this word of truth. It will answer the many curious questions that you have, like what your greatest purpose in life is, or why bad things happen in your life. The word will give you answers if you will but give your ear to it. It will explain to you why you're miserable and uncomfortable whenever you listen to this Christian message. It will explain to you how you can be set free from all of your misery through faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Amen. So be a hearer of the word, and it might be well with you, because faith is a gift that God gives, and faith comes by hearing. Amen. So do your duty to be a hearer. Amen. A second use is that believers must be teachable hearers of the word. Yes. I'm not telling anyone here this morning to blindly accept everything that is preached to you.
Right.
When preachers make mistakes, and they're going to make mistakes, please spit out the bones, throw away the chaff, be like the Bereans, check the scriptures to see if the things that are being spoken are actually true. But when the word is delivered faithfully, receive it with all eagerness. Be like Cornelius and his friends who gathered in the presence of God to hear all that had been commanded by the Lord. Be like the psalmist who treasured the word and stored it up in his heart. Let the word work, because this is the instrument that God is going to use to save your souls. And finally, when we have been angry in a sinful way, whether as a response to the word or in some other expression, let us look to Christ's righteousness in the gospel for hope. Although anger in and of itself is not sinful, this emotion is extremely difficult for people with remaining sin to use for righteous ends. More frequently than not, we use anger instead of for holy purposes. We use this emotion to sin. We do this especially when we allow ourselves to be ruled by this emotion instead of controlling it. When we emotionally overreact with uncontrolled anger, or whenever we're angry without a sufficient cause, or more simply, when we allow our murderous intentions of the heart to spring out of us and we act upon them, we use this emotion of anger wickedly. But the person of Christ, acting according to his human nature, was never sinfully angry. And this is good news for us. Our Savior, who was truly man without sin, perfectly obeyed the command, be angry and do not sin. And he obeyed this command for us. Oh, he got angry. He got angry when people withheld mercy on the Sabbath, when the disciples prevented children from coming to him. Perhaps he was slightly angry whenever he entered into the temple and flipped tables over. But in every moment of his human life, he never lost control of his anger. He never used it inordinately or inappropriately. He had no murderous intentions in the execution of his anger. He is that blessed man who is mightier than an army that can overthrow a city because he was able to control his own spirit. So believers, when we've failed to rule our spirit, when anger has ruled us, let us repent and believe in the gospel again for forgiveness. And when we do, let us thank God for looking upon us according to the perfect righteousness of His Son, who was sinless in all of His anger for us, for our salvation. Well, Lord willing, when we return to our exposition of James, we'll see our duty to be hearers of the word from verse 22. But today I hope you've seen our duty to be hearers of the word. He who has an ear, let him hear. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would work in us a great hunger for your word, and that you would help us to appropriately and cheerfully respond to it and receive it. We want you, Lord, to grow us by your grace. And so we ask that the implanted word would have its full effect in us and it would produce righteousness in us to the saving of our souls. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.